Well, isn't the Lord good tonight? I appreciate that preaching. And I echo Brother Ken, we need more preaching like that in these hours. Somebody said, I don't like hard preaching, just preach to me about Jesus. Well, I got news for you, Jesus won't be sweet until you realize how wicked and low down you are. If all you preach is a sweet Jesus, you'll have a sugar tooth gospel. But you need to realize how low down we are before it'll ever matter to you how great He really is. Well, I'm glad. I appreciate that preaching, Brother Steve. I appreciate this meeting tonight. Isn't it good to be able to go to church with folks of like mind and be able to worship the Lord together? Isn't that a blessing? I appreciate it. Stand up with me and go to the book of Exodus and find Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 1. And we'll read down through verse number 5. Then maybe some around verse 7. And we'll end up tonight in verse number 13. If you love your Bible, say amen. Well, we ought to love the Word of God. Exodus chapter 12, if you're there in your Bible, say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Now, you know that Egypt in your Bible is a type of the world. As a preacher preached already tonight, it is a type of that place that God has saved us out of. And it is a place that many times in Scripture we find when one of God's men would backslide, that he would go back to that land of Egypt. It is a type of the world. But I want to say tonight, I'm glad that God can still get a word into Egypt. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make their count for the lamb. I like verse number 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. I'm glad my lamb's without blemish. A male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse number 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse number 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, reckon I'll read that again. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness. I want to thank you, Lord, for your darling Son, Jesus, that hung on the cross between heaven and earth for our sin. Lord, thank you that you loved us, God, even though we are unlovable. Thank you for saving us and washing us and putting us in your family. Now, Lord, I pray you'd give me the strength to say what needs to be said tonight. Lord, I know that I can't preach it without your help. I know that this crowd cannot receive it without your help. But Lord, if the Holy Ghost will come by, you'll give help to the preacher and you'll give help to the listener. Now, God, we lean on you heavily, knowing that we need you. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We come tonight to Exodus chapter 12. And Exodus 12 is the chapter in which the Passover is being instituted as God's salvation and His deliverance for His people. I want to say to you tonight that isn't it amazing that all of the other things that were wrought in the life of Pharaoh would not deliver God's people. It took the shed blood of a lamb to get God's people out of Egypt. I want to say to you tonight that you can have struggles like Pharaoh did. You can have trials and you can have dilemmas. But friend, it was not flies, it was not lice, it was not frogs that got them out of Egypt. It was the shed blood of a spotless lamb. I've watched folks struggle with difficulties, but those difficulties could not deliver them. Thank God, it is the shed blood of Christ that will deliver us tonight. It's in Exodus chapter 12 that we are introduced to the Passover supper and to the ordinance of the Passover. I want to say a couple of things tonight before I get to my main thought. I want you to notice that in verse number 2, that the Lord says, it shall be, this month shall be the first month of the year unto you. I think it's strange tonight that they have been living in Egypt standard time. Can I get a witness right there? They have been living off of Pharaoh's clock. They had been living on an Egyptian calendar. But when we find that the blood of the Lamb comes into their house, it is now the first month of the year. The Lord said, I don't care what time it is in Egypt. I don't care what time you think it is. I don't care what time Pharaoh told you it was. It is now the first month of the year. The first month representing a brand new beginning. And I want to tell you something tonight. Your life begins when the Lamb comes to your house. I don't care what time the devil says it is. Thank God, it's a new day. It's a new year. It's a new life when the Lamb comes to your house. He said it's going to be the first month. We're starting over again. Aren't you glad that God will back the calendar up and let you start over again? Then in verse number 3, he says, tell them to bring that lamb to their house on the 10th day of that month. I didn't know this, and I asked some folks and read, and I found out that the number 10 in our Bible is the number of testimony. Isn't that something that he had them bring the lamb in on the 10th day, on the day of their testimony? You know where your testimony began? It began when the Lamb came to your house. Now, if we're to take testimonies tonight, there might be somebody get up and tell about Grandma and Grandpa, but that's not where our testimony began. You might tell about the day you first came to church and thank God for the church, but that's not where your testimony begins. I'll tell you where your testimony begins. When the Lamb of God comes down to your house, thank God, that is the beginning of our testimony. And then in verse number 4 is where my heart and my thought is tonight. Notice the first part of verse number 4. Up into that first comma, look at it. And if the household be too little for the lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb. Now he is giving them instruction on this sacrifice. And Brother Ken, isn't it amazing that the only stipulation he gives is not if the house is too big for the lamb. He didn't say, now you might get into this thing and find out you ain't got enough lamb for your house. You know what he said? He said, there might be a problem with this sacrifice. And here's where the problem might lie. You might find out that you've got too much lamb for the house. Yeah. You might get into this thing and find out that you've got too much lamb for what's going on at your house. Now, unless you don't know why the rest of us are happy, I better stop and tell you. Because Isaiah said he would come as a lamb led to the slaughter. Thank God John Baptist sent him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John the Revelator saw him and said, "He is as a lamb that had been slain." Thank God I know who the Lamb is tonight. It's the darling Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. You know what the Lord said about that lamb? He said, "You may find out that you've got too much lamb for the house." I grew up in a preacher's house with six children in that house, and I know what it's like to be poor. Somebody say amen. Anybody here tonight know what it's like to have pintos and cornbread for supper? And then the next night have cornbread and pintos for supper. And on Wednesday night just have pintos for supper. And Thursday night take that cornbread and break it up and put it in a glass of milk and shout glory with it running off your chin. Hallelujah. That makes myself hungry. Amen. I've watched my daddy. He taught us how to make a sandwich out of anything that would sit still long enough to put in between two pieces of loaf bread. Amen. I can tell by looking, hey, some major sandwich eaters in this crowd. I bet if we poked around, we could find some pineapple sandwich eaters in this crowd. Hey, I've been down there. Where is a mayonnaise sandwich? Can somebody shout, "Glory"? Amen. Every pair of blue jeans I ever owned was worn by somebody else before I got it. We didn't have to hem them up. They'd done been walked off. Somebody shout right there. Just walk them bad boys off. I got a feeling there's some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You get them old wrestlers that mama gives you. She done ironed them patches on the knees. And they so stiff, you can't even bend down. You got to hike them up to bend down. Amen. I know what it's like to do without. I know what it's like to be a preacher's boy and watch everybody go to Shoney's and we just go and sit and talk because we didn't have money for the ball. But can I know what it's like to do without? But for everything we ever had to do without, I promise you this, there was never a point where we didn't have enough lamb to go around. Hey, you may not have the stuff everybody else has got. You may not have things. You may not be sitting on a pile of money. But I will say glory to God. I guarantee you, there's enough lamb for your house. There's enough lamb to go around. He said, you may run into a problem. You may find out you got too much lamb for your house. I want to show you three things, if I can, real quickly, that the lamb was sufficient for. First of all, I want you to notice that there was enough lamb, and there is enough lamb to get your house in. Verse number 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And this was the promise of God that whoever was in that house, hallelujah, where the blood of that lamb had been applied, that blood was sufficient for whoever was in that house. I got news for you tonight. There's enough of that blood. There's enough of that lamb to get your house in. Some lady may have come tonight by yourself and you left the husband back at the house with a Budweiser in one hand and a remote control in the other, and he gives you a hard time for coming to God's house, and he's going to give you a hard time when you get home. But I'm here to tell you something, lady. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on that man. There's enough for the Lamb. He can get your husband in. Mom and Daddy, you praying for your youngest tonight. I've got a 6-year-old boy. He'll be 7 in the end of December. Brother Ken, it scares me to death to look at what that boy is going to have to grow up in, to know what kind of wickedness he's already having to walk through. But I'm glad to know that in the world he shall have tribulation. But thank God, I know a Lamb that has overcome the world. There's enough of that Lamb to get your house in. Amen. There's enough of that Lamb to save your youngins. There's enough of that Lamb to get your family born again by the good grace of God. There is not a shortage of Lamb. They may be running out of oil. We may be running out of money. But you can rest assured, there's enough of the Lamb to get us in these last days. Thank God. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but it's the precious blood of that Lamb that gets us in. I was preaching about a month ago, and I preached on Sunday morning and got through with the sermon and right in the invitation time I came down and I looked at that crowd and I said, if you're here this morning and you want to get saved and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come down. I want you to take me by the hand. And I'll pray with you, and you'll pray, and we'll ask God, and you can get saved if you'll come to Him this morning. Gave that invitation, and little 13-year-old girl sitting on the front right side, my right, gave that invitation, little 13-year-old, blonde hair, blue-eyed, innocent as she could be, never has had alcohol run through her veins, never has had drugs in her body, never has woke up in the wrong place with the wrong person. That innocent little 13-year-old girl stepped off of that. I'm glad there's enough grace to save an innocent 13-year-old girl. She stepped off of that front row, come down, took me by the hand, tears dripping off of her cheeks. I'm glad there's enough of the Lamb to get a youngin' like that in. She had a hold of this hand. A fellow over on this side, 52 years old, spent 38 years being an alcoholic and popping pills and breaking his home and breaking his marriage. Stepped out of that pew about first, run in and come down that old Ken just a quivering. And he took me by the left hand, and that little old 13-year-old girl had me by the right hand. Here she is, never known the horrors of sin, never known the heartbreak of sin, never known what it's like to break everybody she loves heart. They know what it's like to be disappointed with herself. On the other side, this 52-year-old alcoholic whose life has been drugged to hell and back. Thanks be to God. We knelt down on that floor. That 13-year-old prayed. That 52-year-old prayed. And there's enough grace to get them both in the family of God. There's enough for that Lamb. He can get them both in. Yesterday morning, got through preaching an invitation. 23-year-old young man, been coming about a month and a half. Living with his girlfriend, got a little baby about 6 weeks old. His mother's in the penitentiary. He's already got a parole officer at 23. Yesterday morning, here's a white knuckle on that pew in front of him. I'm talking about like squeeze the varnish out of it. That's the third verse of Just As I Am. He came down just like he was. Got saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You say, I don't believe that. Honey, you never have met the Lamb. I bet there's enough for him. He can get you in tonight. Listen to me. Whoever was in that house, when that blood got applied, there was enough of that blood to save whoever was in that house. You say, you don't know how bad I am. Yeah, you don't know how strong the blood is. You say, you know what I found, Brother Ken? It ain't them things 10 years ago that's killing us. It's them things 10 minutes ago. Some of them hung up on stuff 10 years ago. It's what you was doing earlier on today that the devil tells you you cannot defeat and you cannot overcome. I want you to listen to me. You can't defeat it and you can't overcome it. But there's enough of the blood, honey, he can save you. He can get you in the family of God. There's enough of the Lamb to get your family in. Now, I ain't got time to see if they won't say not. I'm glad that when they went down there to take of that sacrifice, they had to eat that unleavened bread. Can I tell you, we do serve a holy God tonight. There was no sin in Him. Thank God He who knew no sin became... Don't let Hollywood tell you that He was having affairs. Don't let Hollywood tell you He was slipping around in the shadows of Jerusalem. Honey, He was born the spotless Lamb of God. He was raised the spotless Lamb of God. He died the spotless Lamb of God. He was holy, holy, holy all the way from the cradle to the grave. Said, when you eat that sacrifice, eat those bitter herbs, because every aspect of salvation is not going to be sweet. You're going to have bitterness. Can I get a witness right there? You're going to have trials. You're going to have trouble. But I'm glad there's enough of that Lamb to wash down them bitter herbs with. And he told him, he said, after you sacrifice that Lamb, after you eat that Lamb, he said, whatever's left, take it and burn it. And don't eat it the next day. I didn't know what that meant. But I got to look at that thing. The Holy Ghost popped in my heart and said, I'll tell you why they didn't eat it and burn it all that night. Didn't eat none of it tomorrow. Because they weren't going to need none the next day. Believe I'll say that again on this side. You know why they didn't have to save it? You know why they didn't need no doggy bag? Didn't need no takeout, because once is enough. You don't have to come picking back on that lamb the next day. You ain't got to go to the fridge and dig it out next week and make sure you got enough. Once is enough. You say, you sound like one of them once saved, always saved preachers. Once is enough. He said, after that blood's applied and after that lamb's consumed, after you've had all you can take, go ahead and burn it, because you ain't going to need it tomorrow. Thank God there's enough of the Lamb to get you and your family in. But I want to say to you secondly, that not only is there enough of the Lamb to get us in, but number two, there's enough of the Lamb to get us through. Now, y'all go with me for a second. When that blood was applied to that door, that family, am I right? That family was saved and they were safe. The Bible says that all throughout the land of Egypt, the death angel was passing through. And the cry, the wail, the groan was so great that it woke up Pharaoh in his house when that angel came through. But I got news for you. Not one of those screams came from the house of an Israelite where the blood had been applied. Now, they were saved, am I right? They were saved and they were safe. But they still had to go through that long night in Egypt. Can I tell you something tonight? I ain't trying to be arrogant. This is Bible. I'm saved and I know that I am. I want to say this. I'm as saved as the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. That makes some of you nervous, don't it? And the only reason I say that is because I'm hid with God in Christ Jesus. And if I go to hell, Christ will have to go to hell. Because I'm wrapped up in Him. Thank God He's wrapped up in the Father. I'm covered by the blood. I am in Christ tonight. I cannot, I will not, I'll never taste one drop of hell. I'll never smell the sulfur walls of that place. I'll never fall one second in that Christless eternity. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved just as sure as I'm standing here. I'm saved and I know that I am. But that being said, I've still had to go through some dark, scary nights. Now, some of y'all may act real spiritual, like you don't ever have a worry or a care. But if I'd have been that oldest boy in that Hebrew house, and I heard them death wails are coming from all over town, I need a little help right there. And I knew that same angel was coming by our house. You ever had an appointment the next morning, and it was so important that you couldn't sleep all night? You ever had a trip or something and it was so pressing that you ran over looked the clock every 15 minutes and waiting on the time for it to go off so you got it? Anybody ever do like that? Boy, how would you like to know that for sure the death angel was passing by your house and you heard screams all night coming from your neighbors across town, even at Pharaoh's house. You could hear the screams of death coming as the death angel came by and chopped down those young lives of those Egyptians. I know that some of y'all are stronger than I am, but if I'd have been that oldest Hebrew boy, there'd have been an uneasiness down in my heart. Now, they were saved, but they still had to go through a dark night. Listen to me, just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't have trouble. It doesn't mean that you won't fear. It doesn't mean that you won't worry. It doesn't mean that you won't hear the sounds of destruction all around. Had to go through that dark night. Remember that song folks used to sing a lot, don't hear it as much anymore. Talking about one dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come. For one little Hebrew boy, who was his father's firstborn son. And surely all night, that boy would hear those screams and those cries. And down in his heart, "Whoa, Daddy, is it going to be all right?" Now, can I tell you that the Lord's good this evening? I'm going to tell you how good He is. I'm going to tell you, you better listen, because I might run. You might not see me again after this. I'm going to tell you how good He is. He is good enough to let His blood be applied and let His blood be on them. I read one man that said those bears were so much smaller than they are in our time. And even today in that part of the world, the bears are much smaller. And that writer said as they put that blood on that bear, as they came and went, he said, surely that blood rubbed off on them as they came and went from those doors. He said, surely, as they went out those doors, leaving Egypt that night, he said there was bloody footprints leading all the way out of Egypt. Thank God they had the blood applied on them. I'm glad the blood's on me tonight. Anybody else glad the blood's on you tonight? But I'm going to tell you how good the Lord is. Brother Ken, they not only have the blood on them of that lamb, but he said, I want you to sit down and I want you to eat all that lamb you can eat. Because night times are coming, and you might not be able to see that blood so clear after dark, but they had the blood on them, and now they've got the lamb in them. Hallelujah. Let's try that again. They got the blood on them, and He was so good that when the night fell, they might not be able to see it so clearly. They not only had the blood on them, but they had the lamb down inside of them. Hey, you better listen to me tonight. I'm glad the blood's been applied, but I'm glad that the lamb has moved inside. Oh, the blood is on me. But thank God the Lamb is in me tonight. Now, this is a silly question because I can tell by looking, but y'all just play along. You ever eat so much? I think there's more honesty on this side of the building. You ever eat so much that when you sit down, you can just feel your heart beat in your stomach? Now, some of y'all ain't giving me a witness, and you ought to. I mean, you ever eat so much that when you sit down, I mean, you just feel your belly blow up and feel your heart beat down in your stomach. And I mean, Billy Kelly said the only thing you left empty was your neck, and that's for pie later on, amen? He said you just get so full, you can reach in and touch it. Right? Amen? Now, some of y'all acting like you ain't, but I can tell, amen. I'm talking about full. I believe that's how those Israelites were when they went to bed that night. Woo! Old Junior gets up about 1 a.m. Daddy, you think I'm going to be all right? Daddy's laid up in there. Got so much lamb in and you can't even hardly breathe. He got that toothpick out picking his teeth. He still got bitter herbs on his breath. He said, son, don't you worry about it. You go back in there and lay down and go to bed. I got enough of the lamb in me. It's enough to get us through this night. Boy, I've walked through some bad places, so I think. But boy, I'm glad that for all those dark places, I'm glad there's always been enough of the lamb in me to get me through. Friend, I'm not here to promise you tonight a life of ease. And I'm not here to tell you that getting saved is a bypass around all your problems. You got to go somewhere else if that's what you want to hear. But I can tell you this. Yes, you will have some dark, scary nights in Egypt. And yes, you will have some fearful times. But thanks be to God, I'm telling you not as one who heard about it and not as one who read about it. But I can tell you personally tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ knows where you live in Egypt. And He knows that the blood's been applied. He knows that the Lamb is inside and He'll pass over your house. I know what it's like to leave a house with nothing in the cupboard and come back home with 18 bags of groceries sitting on the porch. I know what it's like to look to God and thank Him for that daily bread. Some of you have been places where I haven't been. You've walked down through places in life that I've not yet had to touch. But I believe that those of you who have been there would be willing to answer back tonight that there's enough of the Lamb to get you through those places. He said there might be too much lamb for your house. There'll be enough to get us in. Somebody say amen. There'll be enough to get us through. And I want you to notice lastly in verse number 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Number 3, there's enough of the lamb to get us out. This is what he said. Said, don't go to supper tonight in your pajamas. Don't wear your loafers. Don't wear your house shoes. Said, put your walking breeches on. Said, put your hiking shoes on. Said, anything you like, you better get it real close. And you better pack it up. You better get your walking stick out. Because as soon as you eat this lamb, you better be ready to go, because you just might.
Yeah.
You know why? Because there's enough of the lamb to get us out. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We are pilgrims and we are strangers, and there is enough of the lamb to get us out of here one of these days. I believe tonight we're going in the rapture. Well, the old preacher said, we're either going in the rapture or the rupture, but either way, we're getting out of here. And here lately, it's looking more like the rapture than the rupture. You let Iran run their mouth. You let Russia run to their side. You let China blow up and act like they're going to do something. I got news for you. They can all hate Israel's guts if they want to. God done got this thing figured out. I ain't worried about Iran tonight. I ain't worried about Gog and Magog. Honey, I got enough of the lamb in me. One of these days, I'm getting out of here. I got too much lamb. Stick around here for a whole long time. And so what he said in verse 11, he said, fasten your breeches tight, put your walking shoes on, get your walking stick, because as soon as you eat that lamb, you better be ready to go. Hallelujah. I think there's enough lamb in here tonight. If the rapture was to come, I hope y'all don't have much in that ceiling, because it sure ain't going to last. We got too much of the lamb stick around this old world. We had an old fellow in our church. Brother Ken met him, loved him. 86 years old, Brother Jesse Coley. The black man lived one driveway down from the church. Lived there since the early mid-20s. An old pulp wood, old hands like a vice grip. Brother Jesse wasn't about 5'2" and full of God. Come down there in his overalls, his little black top hat and his cane every Sunday, every Thursday. About a month and a half ago, I guess, Brother Jesse was in the hospital. I went to see him on Sunday afternoon, and I walked in there, and he's laying in that bed and in the intensive care, and I walked over there, and I took that 86-year-old pulp with her hand, and he squeezed down, laying in intensive care, cracked three of my knuckles. I said, praise God, you ain't going to glory no time soon. Hurting folk laying in the intensive care. My eyes was bright. We come back home, and we was having a revival. Never had done it. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Went by to see him at his house Saturday afternoon. Pulled up there sitting on the front porch with them overalls on, that little black top hat. Laying on that cane looking out across the yard. Had the preacher with me, and we walked up and sat down, and he and I shared a mutual love for coon hunting. Hallelujah. We talked about walker hounds, and we talked about being in the West. He's telling me stories about coon hunting. I've heard them a million times, but he liked to tell them, so I like to listen. I said, "But Jesse, we got church tonight." He said, "Well, I want to be there." I said, "We'll make sure you get there." Before we left, he sang a couple of songs, and we loaded up and went on to the house, and that night somebody went and got him and brought him to church. We had sure enough meeting that night, and got to the end of the service, and Brother Jesse was sitting three rows from the back on this side. And the last thing we did, Brother Mark is there. The last thing we did, we set them offering plates out on both sides. And we received an offering. Brother Jesse stepped out, them little overalls on, that cane, had a $5 bill pulled up in his hand. Come easing down that side aisle, that $5 bill. Come all the way to the front. Two different folks stopped him and tried to carry it for him so he wouldn't have to go all the way to the front. He wasn't going to let nobody give his money to Jesus but him. So he got all the way down the front, put that $5 bill on that plate. And I'm telling you the truth. But Mom, tell me, he turned around that center aisle and looked up and down the right side of that church. Smiling ear to ear. looked on the on my left and looked him up and down. I thought he was going to say something. He's standing there just like he's taking it in. He's gone back there to his seat and sat down. One of the men took him back to his little house that night, a little old clapboard house that's been built on to and on to and on to, raised 16 kids in it. Here's a port word, you have 16 kids too. Somebody say amen. Somebody got help around here. Hallelujah. Keeping minimum wage, amen. He went back to that little house and Brother J.C. said that he had trouble getting up the steps. Said he had to help him up the steps. Said he got up there, he's fumbling with his key, and he dropped his key, and they had to get down and find his key to get him in that old house. Jesse Coley went in and laid down that night somewhere around 12:30 on Sunday morning. The Lord said, Jesse, it's Sunday, why don't you just come on and go to church with me this morning? His son Roy was sitting by his bed, and he said, Papa Coley started getting short of breath, and he said, I reached over and picked up the telephone to call the ambulance, and said there's no dial tone, said the phone was dead. Said I picked up my cell phone and said I hit 911, said my battery flashed and my phone shut off. I told him, I said, Roy, God didn't want you calling 911. Jesse didn't want to go to heaven from an ambulance. He didn't want to go to heaven from St. Francis. He wanted to go to glory from that house that God had been so good to him in all the years. Hallelujah. He didn't have no trouble getting in glory's door. Ain't but one key, and that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. About a quarter of a mile from Jesse's driveway, back in July, a man and his wife in their mid-40s, living in a $1 million home, lots in that subdivision, $350,000, living in a $1 million home on a $350,000 lot. She had gotten a $65,000 bonus on that Friday. Her and her husband got into an argument that night, and her husband took a shotgun, took her life, took his life, and as those two bodies fell to the ground in that $1.5 million home, a 5-year-old girl and their infant baby watched it happen. And that little 5-year-old took that infant, and they went and crawled in bed in that mansion and fell asleep with mom and daddy lying in their own blood in the living room. Boy, they had all the stuff in the world. But just a quarter of a mile, there's an old clapboard house with pieced together carpet and rolled up vinyl. And Honey Bird Jesse didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. But thank God he had enough of the land to get him in. And for 86 years, he had enough of the land to get him through. Somewhere on Sunday morning, died on my birthday, somewhere Sunday morning, August the 30th, about 12:30 in the morning. Honey, there was a great band of angels that came by the dirt road and carried him on to glory. He had enough of the lamb to get him out. I'd rather live in a shack with Jesus than live in the finest mansion money can buy and not have enough of the peace of God to face the trials of life. The Dagging Heart talked about those miles, and I know nowhere to that extent, but boy, every night, every week, leaving out in the middle of the night, going home, or leaving a meeting, dead dog tired. Boy, some night, but Steve, my preacher right here, I'm talking about can't keep your eyes open. I mean, eat 2 bags of M&M, drink a Mountain Dew, and still can't keep your eyes open. And then get to the house, lay in the bed, poof, and they turn into saucers. I'm going to get me a steering wheel hanging over my bed, praise God. See if that don't help. But Steve, we may leave a meeting one night, tired and weary, and we may not make it to the house. But we got enough of the lamb. You can rest assured we'll make it home. I got too much lamb to stay here. I got enough of him to get me out. Now, my whole thought tonight is this. Verse 4. The whole thought comes down to this. And if the household be too little for the lamb, what do you do when you got too much lamb for your house? What's your Bible say? Let him go to his neighbor next unto him. Y'all watch the South Georgia Cotton Patch translation? When you got too much lamb, you go next door. We got too much Jesus in our house. You reckon y'all could use some lamb at your house? I mean, we've had some problems, but through all of our problems, we still got too much lamb. And we've sinned and we've made mistakes, but through all of our city and all of our family, we've still just got too much lamb in our house. You reckon y'all could use some lamb at your house? I got two guys from my church with me tonight. But Trey, you got saved first part of this year, didn't you? And Brother Jeremy Mangione, Jeremy, has it been 2 years now? Or? Jeremy and his wife live right next door to us. And I ain't going to embarrass him because he could kill me many different ways. And he is riding home with me tonight, but this is one of the finest U.S. Army soldiers you'll ever get to shake hands with in your life. This young man's put his life in harm's way so we can do what we're doing right here tonight. He and his wife moved in next door to us, and Miss Amy and his wife got to be good friends. And Brother Ken, we just had too much lamb at our house. And so, about, I don't know how long, 3 or 4 months went by. They came to church, and went long after that, that they found out there's enough of the lamb came back to their house. And here he sits tonight saved in God's house. Hey, you're one of my dearest friends. And the only reason that God put us together as neighbors is because He knew we had enough lamb. And that lamb was not only enough for my house, it's enough for His house. Honey, there's enough for the lamb for you and for those that live next to you. What would happen in our churches if we realized we had more lamb than we had house? Me and Miss Amy got married, and we just celebrated 10 years. I celebrated, and she survived. Amen. I was going to get her a dozen roses, but I got her a purple heart and a trophy instead. Hallelujah. Had a ceremony presented it to her. Glory to God. We got married, Brother Ken. We was living in South Carolina, and we lived in a trailer park in a pecan orchard. Now, some of y'all ain't never took the wheels off of your house. But there are some here tonight that know that a trailer park does not belong in a pecan orchard. Amen. That metal roof, and the first time in pecans started coming off, dear God, I thought the Taliban had landed. I thought Osama bin Laden was pulled up in the driveway. I was going to slide her that 45 and tell her, I'm God's man. You go fight. The Bible says, watch and pray. You go watch and I'll pray. Amen. We live in that little trailer park in that pecan orchard. We'd just been married a month or so. And I was in Bible school at night, and I come home one Monday night and open the front door of that trailer. I smelt something that had come out of the oven that had not been burnt. That was a plus. And it smelled good. And it didn't smell like it come out of the box. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I walked in and she called her grandma and got a recipe. She made a homemade peach cobbler. Now it smelled good. I didn't know how it was going to taste yet. But I was fully prepared to lie. Can I get a witness right there? You say, oh, you ought not lie. A lot of things I ought not do, but I'm still married after 10 years. Praise be to God. Yeah. All you young couples, this ain't no marriage seminar, but all you young couples, you know what a lie is? It's an ever-present help in time of need. That's what a lie is. If it had tasted like borax soap, I'd have said, glory, that's the best peach. That's the best I've ever had in my life. That's the best peach cobbler I've ever had in my life. I walked in. She got me a big scoop up, and it was good. I didn't even have to lie. But I was ready to, but I didn't even have to. I mean, it's good. I'm so proud of her. She's so proud of her. I went to work the next morning, went to college on Tuesday night, pulled up in the driveway. I smell it again. I said, glory, she warmed that thing up. I walked in. There's another, I'm telling you, there's another brand new one sitting right beside us. She didn't figure out how to do something. She wasn't going to quit while she was ahead, amen. We got one with one corner missing and a brand new one right beside her. Telling you the truth, she's here. She testified. Come home Wednesday night after college, and there was another on the... I thought, she's got something going with Mrs. Smith. I don't know about. She's importing, exporting anything. You know what we did? And I'm telling the truth. You know what we did? Everybody in the trailer park eating peach cobbler. Hallelujah. Everybody I went to college with come over the house eating. It's peach cobbler all over South Carolina for about a week and a half. You know why? Because it's good. And we had too much for our house. You know what might happen if we realize how much of the lamb we got? We might have enough to give somebody else. You might find yourself at work telling that boy that works that machine beside you, you know what? We got too much Jesus at our house. You reckon y'all could use some down there at your house? It's what your Bible says, verse 4. And if the house be too little for the lamb, he shall let him take it to his neighbor next unto him, and it'll count for their souls as well. That's what verse 4 says. I'm glad tonight, no matter how many problems we have in life, we'll never run out of the lamb. There's enough for you and your house, and there's plenty to spare. I wonder tonight who'll come pray for your friends, your husband, your wife, your children to get saved. I wonder who is saved that'll come and say, dear God, we know we're saved, but we're going through a dark night. I wish you'd come realize tonight there's enough of that lamb to get you through your dark night. And friend, one day we'll either all go through the grave or we'll go through the sound of the trumpet. But either way, do you know which way you're headed? I do, because I got too much lamb to stay here. I want you to stand up with me. Maybe you ought to come tonight and ask God to help you share that lamb all over this building. These folks are going to sing all over this building. Will you come tonight?